So that's why in RPM planning, the first question we're always asking is, what do I really want? What's my outcome? And then we get down to what it really is. What's the specific measurable result? Because if I said to you, what do you want? You might say, well, I want to lose some weight. What's your outcome? You know, I want to lose some weight. So I'll say, okay, you want to lose some weight. What's the specific measurable result you're committed to? Because lose some weight, you could lose a pound, you've achieved your goal. People say all the time, what do you want? Some more money. Here's a dollar, get out of here. Most people are achieving their outcomes. They just don't realize their outcomes are so general that they're achieving them. You got to get specific. That's why we use the word result, a specific measurable result. So you start out with a broad question, like, what do I want out of this day? What's the most important thing I want to achieve today? What's the most important outcome I want today, this week, this month, for my kids, for me, for whatever? And then you finally get it down to what's the specific result. A results focus will produce results. It's that simple. If you talk in generalities, if you focus on what to do, you'll have more to do. How many want less to do and more results? Say I. Then you must train yourself. And the problem is, if your planner, the first thing has is what to do, you can intellectually all day long think about, oh, what do I want? But you're going to get pulled right back into doing again because you got a system that makes you do it. Now, that system worked fine when you had like one identity in life, like you were a farmer, you know, or a farmer and a father, or a mother and a homemaker. But today, what are people? They're mothers, they're activists in the community, they're trying to be the greatest lover, they're trying to make sure that they have their own sense of identity, they're trying to mind nine different things at once in our lives. We may have a higher expectation for what we want in our lives, more demands than we've ever had, and we're using a system developed 150 years ago. I mean, you wouldn't send a message today by carrier pigeon, but that's how people try to communicate with their own mind, by asking totally ineffective questions and then institutionalizing it by having a system. And since the system doesn't work 90% of the time, there's nothing here. The second thing all leaders know is you gotta know your purpose. That's the P in RPM planning. What is your purpose? Because it's great that you want this, but unless you have enough emotion of why you're gonna make it happen, you'll get excited about it, you'll do it for a short time, but then you're gonna run up against obstacles. Anytime you come up with something you want, a goal, a desire, and you get specific about it, challenges are gonna come up. That's part of the nature of it. If there weren't any challenges, you'd already have it. When the challenge comes up, now you have to have enough emotion to push yourself through that obstacle, to either put the persistence in place, the flexibility, the creativity, something that makes you maximize your ability as a human being, and it's always emotion. And here's what you gotta know. People who achieve things have a strong enough reason. The guy who created Morse code. Why did he do this? Because he lost his wife and he realized if he would have had a message, if he would have known, he could have got there in time to be with her. So it developed an emotional drive and he developed an outcome, didn't he? He wanted to develop a specific way that a message could get to someone in seconds, in minutes, no matter where they were in the country. He knew his outcome and he had enough what? Purpose. Purpose equals power. The more powerful your purpose, the easier it is to achieve your outcome if you know what it is. If you know what you want and you got a strong enough purpose, strong enough reason, strong enough emotion, you'll get it. You'll find the way. You'll either find the way or you'll make the way. You'll create the way. And that's true of any human endeavor. But most of us, what we think about as planning is an anal process of sitting down and coming up with what to do, or strategic planning is even worse. Like in a company, usually strategic planning, a few people do for the whole company, and nobody else even looks at the thing. They spend weeks or months, they hire an outside consulting firm to come in and put the plan together, so no one's vested in it, there's no emotion, so rarely does it really get implemented. If you want something to be real, people gotta come together, you gotta everybody agree, this is the outcome we want. These are the three. Here's why it's critical for us. This is why we want this. So the questions we ask when we get to this is, once we know what we want, the next question is obvious. Why is this a must for me? Why is this a must for us if we're planning together? Why is this a must for me? Why do I want to do this, to achieve this? Is there a difference in asking, why do I have to do this versus what do I want to do this? Does that change the way you feel just by changing a word, yes or no? What you're going to find is one of the most important principles in creating, and that's my word for planning, because for most people, they make a plan, they never follow it, so it doesn't get results. So I'm into creating. I'll interchange the words planning and creating because my idea of planning is to create something that's alive, that is so clear in terms of its target and so emotional that people can figure out how to do it because they got the target clear in the mind and they got the energy to make it happen. My experience is you get the first two, you can figure out the third step easily. easily. But you got to have that purpose. You got to have that drive. So the questions we're asking is, why do I want to do this? What will this give me? Why is this a must for me? If it's a group of people, you're going to find something. You're going to find that everybody's got their reasons. And instead of trying to get them to do things for your reasons, the power of this type of planning or creating is, we all agree on the outcome, but we can do it for different reasons. And if you try to make people do it for your reasons, they may not be inspired. But if you can find out what'll juice them to get that outcome, now you've got a group of people who are very different that will produce together a result that is the same. Because they're doing it for their reasons. And I'll give you a clue. Everybody's got their reasons and we have their own code words for them. Like for me, if I think something can have a significant impact, those words, significant impact, or just even the word impact, that word juices me. If I attach that in my mind to an activity, I will put it on an enormous amount of energy. That's just me. I know that about myself, so I use it in all my planning, which I call creating. I'll link it in. That's one of the trigger words. So for example, today to me was a day about impact. Impacting the lives of people in an entire community, an entire island. Not just the ones here, this community as well. Because I know this community, if they get a sense of giving impact to others, it'll have an impact on them, and many of them will go home and have a bigger impact. So, of course, I had to do this day. There was no question about this day. I had to evaluate this day because I've changed life mastery and took a day out and said, what's most important? I thought, you can't take this day out. This is a day of total impact. Because I linked that, I got to do that. Now, if I thought this was an exercise and just people being loving, love is a very powerful emotion for me, but love can sometimes be shared in many ways, some of which are impactful, some of which are not. So for me, love is an add word, but by itself, in the context of learning something, I think that's really valuable, but if I can put love and impact together, now it's really juicy. And I go, wow, this is impact, where people are gonna feel love, they're gonna experience it, now it's gotta be done. The reason I'm telling you this is not this is what'll drive you, I'm saying you gotta find out what are those words, those trigger points that make you crazy. Because once you know what they are and you link them to what it is you want to achieve, what you want to achieve will come reality. Because you will harness a level of energy in yourself that you've never harnessed before and have an impact or a result, is my word, right? A result that will juice you and excite you. But you got to find it. And tonight we're going to experiment a little bit with that just to get you introduced to the concept. And you'll be able to see that when you do certain things, it's because you've linked a certain thought or focus or emotion to it and there are words you use. And when there are times you don't follow through, I guarantee you use different words to describe the activity in your mind or the result. And as a result, those words change your biochemistry and they change the way you play. And I don't know about you, but I'm through a million planning courses because early on, I wanted to achieve so much, so I went to every time management course I could. And they're all really valuable, but they maxed out about the time I was running two companies and having four children. I mean, at that point, it was like, this isn't doing anything. I had a book that half the pages weren't ever used. I was carrying it around religiously, though, because at least I had my calendar in there, and I had my pictures in there, and a few goals, and some sheets I'd write down every now and then on, and on my calendar, and I had my credit cards. So I carried it everywhere, but it was a fancy big wallet, and it was not helping me to get results, and I was overwhelmed. That's when I began to realize this system has maximized itself. There's got to be a larger system. What do I need to focus on? Focus is power. Where do I get the emotion to follow through? Answer is, all thinking is controlled by the what you ask yourself. The what? All day long, all you're doing is thinking. Thinking is the process of asking and answering questions. Whatever response you have to what I just said, if I say thinking is the process of asking and answering questions, and you go, no, it's not. If you just say, no, it's not, you got to ask yourself, is this true? And you're like, oh, that makes sense. How'd you come up with that? Unconsciously, you ask, does this make sense? One time I was asking myself, I thought, what is thinking? I said, what is thinking? What am I doing right now? Those are questions, aren't they? I thought, is thinking really nothing but the process of asking questions? I thought, that was a question too, wasn't it? I thought, well, not all thinking is a question, is it? So you can say things, but to think, you have to ask, you have to initiate, and then you get responses. Just like communication is triggered, not just by sharing, but when the sharing happens, somebody asks a question about that sharing in their head, and that gives them a responsiveness. Learning to direct your own mind is learning to direct the questions you habitually ask yourself. And I don't know about you, but I've never been through a time management training where they taught me specifically the power of my words to completely change whether I'll follow through on a plan or not. You will learn that here. you will know the difference between the plans you've made and followed through on and the plans you've made and never even thought about again, and the plans you made and felt guilty about. You'll learn the difference in this context between what is it that made you so powerful in one situation and so weak in another. That's because we don't want to just talk about planning. It is planning, but it is creating a vision and turning it into reality. That's what RPM is, and that's fulfilling. So if you know your purpose, if you know your reasons, if you know what's going to trigger you, you finally need the third question to be able to answer, and all leaders can tell you. They can tell you what it is their vision is, what it is they want. All successful people can do that. I've never met a successful person, and you said, what do you really want for this business? What do you really want for your life? And they go, I don't know. You won't find that from a successful person. Secondly, they can tell you why it's a must for them, why they want it, their purpose, because that's why they do it. If you're not passionate, it's because you're not doing what you want and you don't know why you're doing it. In fact, the only difference between work and play is a purpose that empowers you and that you enjoy. That's the only difference. Think about it. Work is activity without a purpose, without a purpose you've attached to it. Somebody else may have a purpose for it, but it's not your reasons. You're doing it because you got to do it. You're doing it because someone wants you to. You're doing it because it's on your to-do list. When it's play for you, how many of you love your work enormously and work harder than most people do when they play? And people go, why do you do this? And you go, I love it. It doesn't work for you. It's play. You enjoy it because you have a sense of purpose. You have the emotion about it. People see me all the time, you know, like, how do you remember all this stuff? You know, you don't seem to have any notes. You're on stage for 12 or 14 hours, and you seem to go, go, go. And at the end of the day, you got a lot of energy. It's because I'm doing what I love, because this is play. This is not work. If I was work, I'd make the day a lot shorter, a lot easier for you and for me. You go, some days I wish this was work for you, Robbins. Right? But play. It's enjoyable because there's a purpose. Activity without purpose is the drain to a life of fulfillment. Activity without purpose is a drain to your financial future. Anything you're doing activity-wise that you cannot tell me specifically why you're doing this and what the result is of it is draining you. Now, don't get me wrong. If you want to just do something to distract yourself, you have that ability, but gosh, life will do that for you anyway. Most people are answering the question, what should I do? And they're basing it upon one of three stimuli. Either A, they're focused on what to do because someone else is making a demand on them. So they're reacting to the people around them. And if you always are responding to people around you, what you're going to do is everybody else is going to probably be happy with you at times or unhappy with you, but you have a life that's in reaction. It's not a life by design. But I want to hook you to go for more, because if I said to you, I know a man whose life is really juicy and exciting, he's achieved an enormous amount, he's become extremely wealthy in financial terms and even more wealthy in emotional and spiritual terms, and he's living his vision, and I could tell you that he could tell you exactly the systematic way he did it, and he's willing to tell it to you if only you promise to use it, how many would want to learn this, would make such a promise? Say, I. Well, I am, and I'm him. Okay? So if you use it to its maximum, you will be blown away. If you take it in your company, you will transform it. If you take it in your own personal life, it'll transform.